Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our 114th podcast, What's Wrong with Craps? And we're coming to you today from where we usually do, Western Pennsylvania. And on this June 25th, we have a nice audience with us today. And we always welcome our digital audience because they just do what we like and don't make a mess. We'll be right back to start the show. And you might be wondering, why would the originators of the 3-2-1 craps betting system, made famous by our fellow colleague Jeremy Alaric from Color Up, and it's been out for 2 years and it's had 215,000 plays. That's not too bad for a craps video. But why would we say what's wrong with craps? Well, we didn't say it. We're looking at Walter Thompson, the gaming guru, and he's a best-selling author for Blackjack for the Clueless. He edited the Expert's Guide to Casino Games and the Ultimate Blackjack book. He's a longtime gaming contributor and enthusiast. And his name is Walter Thompson. So once again, you might want to research him. But he asked the question, what's wrong with craps? And to answer, the terminology. And in many ways, I've talked about this in the past myself. I agree. You know, he says, for instance, let's look at the name of the game. It's called dice or craps. The word dice in culinary terms means to chop into very small portions. And we don't want to talk too much about craps. But usually it's something about an excretion of waste products from a living organism. Oh, does that sound like a game you want to play? And, you know, in terms like crapping out, which is, I'm going to tell you right now, it's used incorrectly. It's one of my pet peeves. But he says, what is that, a stomach disorder, diarrhea? And he says, don't come. Listen, I don't even want to talk about that. He says, it's just as frustrating. And odds, nobody wants to be odd. And the point is usually something sharp. And the shooter, when he hears the word shooter, he's thinking of somebody that killed 14 people from a bell tower in Texas. So, oh, and finally, you know, Big Red, he has a whole list of things about the terminology with Big Red. And he says, the pimples that I used to get on my face when I was a teenager. Hard six or hard eight? Like, why bet if it's hard? Okay, well, check him out on the internet. Walter Thompson, in his article, What's Wrong with Craps? But I want to tell you just the reverse. I love to play craps. And I have a wonderful story, I think, to share with you. And this experience took place on June 20th, Father's Day. Janie and I went to the Meadows Casino in Washington, PA. Of course, you know, we have 2 adult children and 7 grandchildren, and we spoke to them, you know, via our iPhones, and we went live with them that day. So that was taken care of in the morning, and the rest of the day belonged to me, and I said, Janie, let's spend it at the Meadows, and we actually stayed overnight, too. This was all complimentary, so it was great. But what's the crap story? Well, here it is. I was very pleased to see that Meadows had 2 craps tables operating, and they were filled. We had brunch, and then I went and played, and after brunch, there was a space or two available at the $15 table, but the $10 table was still filled. So I went to the $15 table, and that's where I spent the next 2 hours. And I'm talking, I probably started to play about 2:20 and probably finished, you know, 4:20, 4:30, something like that. You know, so anyway, I was playing 3-2-1 craps, the one that, I originated, and I was playing it at a $15 table. So I was putting $30 behind the line on a 6 or 8, $20 behind the line on a 5 or 9, and I was putting $10 behind the line on a 4 or 10. So that was my basic scheme. And it's, you know, the table started out nicely. A fellow threw 3 points, you know, so right off the bat, and some other numbers. The point numbers that were the point, the established point, were winning, you know, so it was a nice way to start. It didn't stay that way. And I was also going with the inside numbers, and, you know, basically a 6 and 8 was $18 a piece. And $15 on the 5. Now, if one of those was the point number, then, you know, I did the odds behind the line, as I explained to you. And I sometimes played the field, but when I did, something I kind of picked up from Jeremy that I hadn't done a lot of before, is I would bet the field, but only to place all the numbers, you know. So if I want a field bet, you know, I'd maybe a $15 9, $15 10, $15 4. I just use it once or twice to fill up some of the other numbers. And the rolls were good, and I went up right away, you know, and it's nothing strange. It was just a strategy that could work against you with a lot of seven outs. And I was up, you know, a couple hundred dollars, and then suddenly the table turned cold, and I'm talking about two shooters in a row sevened out. And I noticed that everybody else in the table stayed on the pass line, and I just started playing the don'ts for $25. And there were four straight seven outs, early seven outs. And sadly, for the people that were playing the pass line, they were point established, next roll, seven out. So you could see the $15 table, those guys just left. So there were still a few people there. And then the fourth one, there was a couple rolls after the established point and a seven out. But I was the next shooter, and I played 3-2-1 craps, and we got it going again. So this one went back and forth, and with, about 4:15, my wife phones me, and I step away from the table. I don't have the dice, and she says, I'd like to play video poker with you, you know, for a little while. And I said, sure. It's something we like to do together. Sometimes play at the same screen, sometimes play right beside each other. And I said, sure. But I said, let me get my turn at the dice here. I'm one shooter away, and then I'll come and find you. And she said, okay. So I still had a $25 match play coupon that I got from the Hyatt Hotel, complimentary from them. You know, it wasn't one that I earned, because the ones that I earn on my My Choice card, I have the option, as everybody who has a player's card does, to turn match plays, a $25 match play, into $20 my cash. There's no risk there, so I always take the my cash. So anyway, I had the $25 player, and then the guy beside me sevened out, and I hadn't been betting because I was on the phone. So it was my turn to shoot. So I pull out of my pocket this $25 match play, and I have to show it to the dealer, who passes it on to the pit boss because he has to approve it. That's just a procedural thing at the Meadows. And he says, sure, we got him. Okay, so I put it on the pass line. And so, in effect, I have a $50 bet. That's exciting for me. But those of you that know how I bet usually know that I'm going to hedge that $50 bet. So I hedged it with three-way craps, a $5 two, a $5 three, and a $5 12. So if a seven was rolled, I'd win $35 in essence, because I'd win $50 minus 15. And if a point was established, the same thing. If they made the point, because I wasn't going to play odds, I'd win $35 because I lost $15 on the come-out roll with three-way craps bet. But that's not what happened. It was too good to be true. So I told the dealer before I threw the dice, I said, if I get what I want, it's my last roll today. I'm going to color up. I informed them that was going to happen. And I swear to God, I throw the dice and it's a 12. So 5 times 30 is $150. Now, I lost the $25. It was part of that $50 match play bet, right? So that's a $125 win on one roll of the dice. And I just say, I still have the dice now. You know, when that's called crapping out. That's a come out roll. You don't lose the dice. You roll again. So you have to seven out to lose the dice. But this is unusual. So I just crapped out, but I jumped with joy because I had a $5 12 on a three-way craps bet worth $15. And I won 150 minus 25 on the pass line, and I got a $125 win. So that takes me over $400 for the day. And I color up right there. That was sweet. And so I went down and found Jenny. Said, let's go play video poker, and I'm paying for it. We played together, and I put $100 of that $125 into the video poker machine. Oh, that was so nice. I just haven't won that much money on one roll of dice for quite a while. So I was really excited, you know. And I don't think the pit boss was too darn happy about it. But hey, baby, that's just how it goes. I love the game of craps. And the video poker, turned out we won $103.25 total minus $100 I put in. So after an hour of video poker, we won $3.25. And we were ready for a break from the casino and went back to the Hyatt for a swim. And we were all by ourselves. There was nobody else swimming but us. And it was so nice. Oh, the room was so nice. The Hyatt at the Meadows, it's connected by what I call a sky bridge. From the fourth floor of the hotel to the second floor of the parking garage, the south garage. And then from there, you walk right into the casino. Just go up two floors on the elevator. Oh, my goodness. So much fun. Father's Day. Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget it. I just love to tell you about that bet. And you know what? That's the strategy I'm going to use with those $25 match plays from now on. I'm going to go $25, match it on a pass line. That's $50. And then I'm going to use three-way craps for 15. 5-5-5, 2-3-12. And hope I win it right there on that roll, throwing a craps number. Okay, we'll be right back for our second segment. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little bit about summer plans. And I know a lot of you go to Las Vegas in July. And if you'd like to call and either you come back from Vegas and you want to talk about your trip, give us a report, gambling, casinos, activities, we'd love it. And if you're just talking about where you might be going in July, give us a call. And we have an answering service, a voicemail at 1-724-519-4556. Again, that's 1-724-519-4556. And we have 5 minutes for you to give us your information. And we'd be happy to put that on the podcast for you. And we're going to talk now about our own summer plans, and they're not complete. Basically, I have a lot to do at home in July. And we had a Mitsubishi air conditioning unit put in for the downstairs of our house. Our house turned 100 years old July 1st, so it's all radiators. The upstairs bedrooms, and there's six of them, you can cover them with window air. That's not a problem for us. And that's easy to put in. But we had a beast of a unit for the downstairs, and I just said, I've had it. It came from the early 1990s, eons ago. And it weighed a ton, and it was a beast. And it took out a beautiful window to use it because we had to run a 220 line to it. So we went with one of these Mitsubishi units where they drill through your wall, very small hole, a little bit bigger than maybe a 50-cent piece. And then the inside unit goes over it, 4 or 5 inches down from the ceiling. And we have 8-foot ceilings. No, we have 10-foot ceilings. So they're up there, and they're about 40 inches long. They look nice. I mean, they're fine. And they're heat pumps. They heat and cool, and they're drawing the power from a unit that's outside the house. It looks sort of like one that you'd have with whole house air, you know, with a vented house, you know. So that's what we had done, and so now we're in. Let's fix up all the things in the house. But I just want to say I love those Mitsubishi units. They're fantastic, and they do the job. They're so quiet yet so powerful. They heat and cool, and you know, Western Pennsylvania, it could be 85 a couple of days, and then get down to 45 at night. You know, a couple of nights and 68 degree days. You just never know, man. If you don't like the weather in Western PA, wait 5 minutes. It might change. But anyway, I want to do a lot of painting. And we have this woodwork that runs throughout the house. You know, the banisters. We have a mezzanine. So up to the mezzanine and up the next flight of stairs. And all the bedroom doors are white. And, you know, over the years, they get dinged up, whatever. You know, so I got a little sanding and painting to do. The window all have this woodwork around them, and you know, we have pocket doors, and they have, it's the same thing in the downstairs rooms. And you know, it's like it's a task, but I think I can handle that. You know, I can do a little bit. I can't do very much, but I can do a little bit of painting and sanding. I've done it over the years, so I don't know what I'm going to do in July. You know, I'm definitely going to run podcasts, but I'll probably be talking to people on the phone, and you know, hopefully you'll call and give us something to relate to. But I do know that early August, we're going to Rocky Gap. We're booked, and I want to spend two nights there. One of those nights, our son Jeff and his family will be coming up, and you know, we get a suite, and we'll get them next to us, and we'll have a lot of fun. So the kids there have the option of swimming in the lake on a white sand beach, man-made, in the state park, which is right across from the casino, or at the swimming pool inside. They'll probably do both as they usually do. And the swimming pool inside has a roof that opens, so it's like being outside. And they have fire pits, an outside bar. You know, the kids can drink diet, can drink pop, and make s'mores and do all that kind of stuff. So we expect to have a blast, and we're protected from the weather a little bit because of the inside pool. But the fire pits, go online and look at Rocky Gap Casino and their pictures. It's just gorgeous there. I said over and over again, it's the most beautiful casino venue in the United States. And, you know, we'll watch the kids so that Jeff and his wife can gamble and, you know, give them a break from raising children, because it's a task, right? And you need a break once in a while. Then, probably around mid-September, we're booked. We're going to be in Las Vegas for an entire week. We're going to spend 4 nights at the Luxor Tower, and we're going out with old friends and big gamblers, Jerry and Elaine. And then Jeff's coming out to spend some time with us. So the second 4 nights, we're going to stay at an executive suite at Harrah's. And Harrah's has been totally renovated, casino and all the rooms, and that's why we want to go to Harrah's. They're having a special suite sale right now as we speak here on June 20th. So don't let it slip by your fingers if you're planning to go to Las Vegas this summer. The prices were just unbelievable. Now, I am a Caesars card holder, so, I mean, that helps some, but I got a tremendous deal. It was $400 cheaper than any other suite I could get on the Strip for those 4 nights. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, you know, flying out after that. So with 8 nights in Vegas and then 2 nights in Rocky Gap, I'm not sure if I'll go. You know, we have 2 nights a month complimentary at the Hyatt Hotel with the Meadows near the Pittsburgh airport, but I don't know whether I'm going to do it or not. It depends how my painting goes, you know what I mean? I'm going to kind of discipline myself. But that's one thing. And we're going to move right on to our third segment, and that segment is called Odds and Ends. And we'll be right back after a very short break. Stay with us. Well, as you may know, there are 404 casinos in the state of Nevada. And that money is used in a number of ways, but it does underwrite the cost of a college education in Nevada. So, you know, it is a great deal to be a resident of Nevada, and the price you'd pay for going to a college, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV, or University of Nevada, Reno, and other state schools is just so much less than, you know, almost all the states in the country. And that's one of the things that they do, and they do some other things as well. But Pennsylvania has 15 casinos, and it's amazing how much tax revenue they get out of 15 casinos. And that's because the state government here just taxes the living hell out of casinos, but the casinos still make money. Their revenues in PA out of those 15 casinos topped $413 million in May. 15 casinos, $413 million. So I want to talk about the ones that I basically attend, and I've been to 6 or 7 of the 15, but, you know, stopping in one time, I'm not going to, you know, bother about that. But so locally, the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, it's on the North Shore of Pittsburgh, it brought in revenues of $29.4 million. $21.7 million were generated from slot machines and $6.2 million from table games. They also had $1.5 million from retail and online sports wagering, according to the Gaming Control Board. So, again, $29.4 million, and again, slot machines were the big winner there. The Meadows Racetrack Casino, and I go to that more now than I used to. I used to go to the Rivers primarily, but now it's the Meadows, and it's because of comps. They brought in $20.6 million in revenue in the month of May, and nearly $14 million was from slot machines, and $2.6 million was generated from table games. So they both have 3,000 slots. You can argue that Rivers has, you know, newer slots, etc., but they're catching up. The Rivers does have many more, twice the table games. I think they have 65 table games at the Rivers. But the Meadows, they always have a craps table open, sometimes two, sometimes three. So I'm not complaining, because that's my table game. And of course, there was a new, I guess, a satellite called sort of a satellite casino. The satellite, the home base is Western Maryland. Now, that's not exactly true. Anne Arundel Mall, Anne Arundel Mills Mall in Maryland. And that's, we're talking about the Maryland Live Casino, where they have a live casino in the Greensburg area. And it's in the Hempfield Westmoreland Mall. And, you know, it's outside of the city of Greensburg. And they saw revenue, total revenue in May of $8.5 million. And almost everything came from slot machines. $1.2 million was generated from table games. And they do have retail sports wagering there. And they didn't even collect $100,000. It was $78,000. And they opened up during the pandemic. And that was a surprise opening. But, you know, people went anyway. I was there, foolish as it might have been. All right. But, you know, we were all masked up, as the expression goes. And finally, you've heard us talk about going to a five-star resort in Farmington, PA called Nemacolin. Check that out online. It's N-E-M-A-C-O-L-I-N, Nemacolin, in Fayette County. It generated just $2 million in May, including $1.8 million from slot machines and only $151,000 from table games. And one of the issues I have with the Lady Luck Casino, you know, I stay at Nemacolin once or twice a year with Janie, and it's a 2,000-acre-plus-acre resort, five-star, pools, restaurants, you know, trails, horseback riding, you name it, they have it. So, and it's not too far from Falling Water, the Frank Lloyd Wright architectural attraction from long ago, bring celebrities to Nemacolin. I've been there when there were Hollywood stars walking about, and you were just asked not to talk to them, you know, and I didn't, all right? So, anyway, Nemacolin, I thought the live casino would hurt Nemacolin, and it is true. It has hurt them. But, you know, they're not talking about closing. They still did make $2 million in gross revenues in May. But their table game situation is so many times there's nobody opening at the craps table. There's no dealers there, you know, and that really irritates you. They don't have a bubble craps machine, which might help a little bit. So, you know, basically late afternoon, the craps table might be open, or once in a while after a big golf meeting at the resort, or a golf outing, I should say, the craps tables are open up into two. You know, that's a problem. But I'm glad they have it. The resort is better because they do have it. And the Lady Luck Casino is not owned by Nemacolin, but it leases space from the resort. And, of course, you know, we wish them well. But I knew the live casino in Greensburg would hurt them some, and it seems like it has. So you can see that in Pennsylvania and also in Nevada and in your state, wherever you live. Slot machines rule in casinos. Some are recognized for their table games, but it's the slot machines. But to bring in $413 million gross revenues and then to have Pennsylvania tax it as they do, no wonder legal casinos are spread across the country. You know, because all these other states are saying, well, why should the next state get all this tax revenue, right? When it's our population that's playing there. And that's what's happening. So, yeah, someday it'll probably be almost every state in the country will have legalized casinos. But right now, that's not the case. So it's something to think about. But again, when you listen to most of the stories from Coach Fab and Janie, it's going to be the Rivers Casino, the Meadows Casino, the Live Casino, and the Lady Luck Casino. And of course, we travel and we stop here and there. And of course, we're in the Las Vegas area a couple weeks a year. And we do spend, you know, half a week or so in Reno, Nevada, because our granddaughter is going to be a junior at UNR. Right? So that's what we have to say. And I want to also suggest to you that when the NFL season opens and the college football season begins, the tax revenues will grow higher because sports betting will be so big. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger with more and more legal online betting, you know, coming to so many states in the country. And it has a stronghold here in Pennsylvania. So it's not going to stop. You know, the pandemic, we like to think it's over. Some people say it's not, but Most of the casinos, all the casinos we go to here are maskless. The crowds are back. I know the crowds are back in Vegas as well. So for all intents and purposes, with few exceptions, people are living more and more like the pandemic is over. And through it all, we're happy to say that Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. So long.